Welcome to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, February 2nd, 2014. The Reverend John Reed is preaching. Today's sermon from our Messages from the Wilderness series is Messages from the Journey Through the Valley of the Shadow. Our scripture reading for today is Psalm chapter 23.
As we get ready to read the passage from Ruth, I just wanted to take a minute to... We began last week a series called Messages from the Wilderness. We're going to be looking at five different biblical characters that went through wilderness times in their lives in the Scriptures, in the Old Testament especially. Last week we looked at Joseph, the time of the wilderness when he was enslaved, when he was a prisoner. And we learned at that point, one of the things we learned from him was that we need to trust that God is with us at all times, even in the times of wilderness. Today we're looking at Naomi and Ruth. Next week we'll be looking at David at a dark time in his life, a time that we remember because of the sin that he did in lusting after Bathsheba and killing Uriah and how he was in the wilderness in his spiritual life at that point. We'll also be looking at Sarah before she gave birth to Isaac in the wilderness of waiting and waiting and waiting, and also at Elijah who fled Ahab and Jezebel fearful for his life and was physically and spiritually in the wilderness at that point. But today we're looking at Ruth and Naomi. One of the things I want to talk about before we go into this is the idea of some significance that we have here. As you'll see in a minute, they leave Bethlehem and go to Moab. And Jeff, if you'd bring up the map. This is a map of the central part of Israel, Judah. Bethlehem is just up, kind of up at the top to go through. And Moab is over on this side. Jeff, hit the next slide so you can see. There's Bethlehem and Jerusalem, where they are, with the Dead Sea, and then they leave and go into Moab and journey into there. So the next one, Jeff. And so they go on down and go into Moab. Now, does Moab sound familiar at all to you? When the Israelites went through the Exodus and left Egypt, on their journeys, they traveled. Remember, they traveled up to the Promised Land, and then they didn't want to cross over, so they traveled for 40 years. Well, they went through all these areas, Edom and Moab itself. Moab and Israel were bitter enemies. From the time when Israel wanted to go through that land, Moab didn't want them to, and refused, and they were bitter enemies. They fought, the old expression, cats and dogs. I mean, there's instances in the history of that we look back and see where Israel would raid in Moab and destroy villages, and Moab would do the same thing with Israel. And it's at the time when we are reading from Ruth. So it's really unusual that they go there to see what we have. So, Jeff, you can take that off the screen now. So it's just really interesting to see what happens that we go through. And later on we'll kind of look and maybe look at why God did that. But this morning we're reading from Ruth, and I'm reading from the first chapter, the first five verses that describe the wilderness that Naomi entered into. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the names of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Here ends the reading of the book of Ruth. Playing that before I get into my sermon each time is kind of our prayer. And I know it kind of goes through quickly, but by the time we go through all five, hopefully you'll be able to pick up and read all that. But it's just a reassurance that even when our time of wilderness, God is with us. And that's part of what we're going to see today with Naomi. One of the things, we can all relate to the death of a loved one. And with Naomi, especially, where she goes and they leave Bethlehem because there's a drought, there's a famine, they can't eat, and so they go over to Moab, because Moab was also a lush, very fertile valley in that area, and there was a lot of grain, and so they went there because there was food. They could make a living that was there. And as we read shortly after that, Elimelech dies, and her sons marry Moabite women, and then they die. What we need to understand is it's very different in the ancient world at this time than it is today. I mean, we have the advantage today of women being strong leaders, of women having equal rights. Well, almost everything equal rights. It's not always equal pay and going through, but it's a whole different world. But in that time, we have to remember women were considered property, property of their husbands and their families. And once they married, they were their sole survivor, their survival and their future rested upon their husband or their sons. If you didn't have a man with whom you were attached in some way, you had no property. You couldn't hold a job. You couldn't own anything. You literally were destitute. Naomi has her husband die, and then her two sons die, and she's in a foreign land. And she is destitute. She has entered the valley of darkness. Not just the loss of her husband and her children and the death, but what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? The despair was overwhelming for her. There was nobody there. So she determines to go back to Bethlehem, thinking that people know me there, or at least they might remember who I was, and maybe they'll take pity on me. I'll certainly be able to get more food begging there than I will here in Moab, where I'm a foreigner, and those people hate me because I'm Jewish, I'm an Israelite. We've never had an easy life here, but at least we survived, so I need to go back to Bethlehem. I'm going to return to Bethlehem. We turned from Bethlehem to Moab to get food. I'm returning now back to Bethlehem to maybe find something where I can survive. She's not looking about living and having a good life. She's looking for survival. And so she begins to depart. And her daughter-in-laws, she encourages to stay because they have family there. They have family that can take them back in and provide a future for them. They're still young. They could still remarry. But until then, they've got family they can rejoin. And so they are not hopeless. They don't have the despair. Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? They're in the valley of the shadow of death because they've lost their husbands, but they have hope. Naomi has no hope. And so she's returning. And the daughters want to go with her, and she finally convinces them and says, no, no, you need to go back. And the one daughter does. But Ruth comes back with the words that have been lifted up, not just in Israel, but throughout history. And in our faith, words that echo what it means to be trusted and faithful. Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Ruth commits herself to be with Naomi. Words that have been lifted up, as I said, as examples of faith and trust. And so she joins with Naomi. Not because she's hopeful she'll find a better life there, because she won't, but because she knew it was the right thing to do. Somehow, something in Naomi and Elimelech's and the sons, the lives of the family about God, the faith in God, touched her, and she recognized something. And she goes with Naomi and returns there. In the midst of the valley of the shadow, and the despair. And when they get back, people recognize Naomi. And they say, is this Naomi? And she says to them, call me no longer Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me." So Naomi returned together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. "Call me Mara, for the Lord has dealt harshly with me." The first thing that we learn, we walk through our own valleys of the shadows, we experience the despair, the pain, the heartache, the loss of a loved one, is we can argue with God and yell at God. "God has dealt harshly with me. Why?" We can let our anger, our fear, our pain, we can express it. We can share it with others. If we hold it in, all it does is become a powder keg that will explode, and it binds us and shackles us and keeps us tied in, and we will never be able to heal. But we can express the pain. The other thing we learn from Naomi is the idea of turning. There's at least 20 times in this short book of Ruth that the word turn or return or some form of that word is used about what Naomi is doing. They turned from Bethlehem. They went away with at the famine. They returned when the husband and the sons died. And they turned to this and they turned to that. They kept turning. They kept looking. They kept searching. They kept doing something. As much as the pain and the despair wants to enslave us, wants to bind us, we need to recognize, we need to keep searching, we need to keep turning, we need to keep looking. And perhaps the most important time when we turn and look is we look and return to those that we know care for us. One person who shared about the despair that she went through, her name was Cheryl, the despair when her 13-year-old son committed suicide. Shortly before school was to start, and it devastated her. She remembers that when she took her daughter to the first day of her sophomore year, it would have been the same time that her son would have started high school. And it overwhelmed her. The despair, the pain, the grief. And she went off and she just found a secluded place near the school and she just wept and wept and wept. Through the experience that she went through and after healing, she realized that she could reach out to others that are experiencing some of the same thing. She said, "I look back now and I see that my friends and my loved ones were my stretcher bearers. They carried me, and we all need stretcher bearers at those times." We have to remember that when we go through the despair, the grief, we need to let people carry us. And we who have been through some of that same thing, or we who care for people, need to understand we need to be those gentle stretcher bearers. When I was in the San Jose Presbytery, I went every time 3 years went around, I went to the youth trinium. And in 1992, I went as one of the adult advisors with our group, went through, and I was also a small group leader that year. So I wasn't with the Presbytery delegation as much as I would like to have done. But we had a rather large delegation, and there were about six of them from my church in San Jose who went as well. And I'll never forget one day when the female advisor, also happened to be one of my youth advisors, and she was chosen to go along, came running to me after small group and said, "You've got to come." I said, "What's happened?" "Well, we've got a crisis. We've got three crises. Jennifer just shared with the group," let me back a minute. The theme of the trinium was through troubled waters. Jennifer just shared with the group that her grandfather had been abusing her and molesting her for 10 years. And she broke down. Another young man in the midst of the meeting gets a phone call, goes over to the payphone and picks it up. They knew it was important because it wasn't a cell phone. We didn't have cell phones with all the kids at that point, but they had called the dorm. And he comes back in tears. His grandfather had just died. Another girl then shares that the night before, her dad called her and said, "Your mom and I are getting divorced and I'm leaving. I'll see you when I can see you." And this all came out. And as Laura is telling me this, I'm going, okay, how do we deal with this? How can we help them? What do we do? They're going through that valley of the shadow. They're going through their wilderness. What do we do? And I walk in. And 35 kids have their arms around three young people and are crying with them and are holding them and are loving them. And I said, I don't need to do anything. They were the stretcher bearers for those young people. And over the next weeks and months, they were carried, not just by those gathered at the training, but by family members, by members of their own churches, their various churches, and they were carried with that. And they were loved. And there were the arms of God enveloping them. They didn't see it at first, but they saw it afterwards. So we learn from Naomi and Ruth that we need to allow stretcher bearers to envelop us and carry us, because we can't do it on our own. Another person has shared that only someone who's gone through the same despair and grief that we've experienced can truly understand what it's like. And that's true. Only those that have gone through a similar wilderness can truly understand it. It doesn't mean that you have to go through that same wilderness to be a stretcher bearer. But just knowing that we're not alone, when someone shares with that grace that I've been there, I've been in that valley, I've been there with where you are, and there is hope. That psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We are the rod, the staff of God. And we bring comfort and hope. The other thing we need to remember is that we have a God that understands all of this. Because Jesus Christ came into this world and He died. God's Son died. God understands what it means to lose a loved one, understands what it means to be in the valley of sorrow and grief. God knows that because God experienced it. And having experienced that, God is able to reach down and be our stretcher bearer. That's what this meal is about. This bread, this cup. This is about God being our stretcher bearer. God being there for us when we never thought anything could be possible. God reaching out in love and grace and compassion and pouring His life out for us. So we, in our times of grief and despair, would not be alone. The interesting thing about Ruth is one of four women mentioned in Matthew's genealogy of Jesus. Ruth, a Moabite woman, a woman from a nation and people that Israel hated. Ruth, who came back. And we see that passage in Romans working again, that God works all things to the good. Doesn't mean that God wanted Elimelech and the sons to die, but they did, and God then transforms, because what happens is Ruth comes back and they have a distant relative named Boaz. And Naomi sends Ruth to the fields to glean, to pick up the leavings after the harvesters. And Boaz understands and sees that Ruth is a relative, and he has compassion on her. And so he tells his workers to leave good grain, good barley, so she can pick it up. And they have more than enough to be able to eat and survive. As things transpire, they end up coming together and they marry. And Ruth gives birth to a son named Obed. He gives birth to a son named Jesse. He gives birth to a son who becomes a shepherd named David, who becomes the king of England, who becomes the ancestor of Jesus. So out of the pain and the hurt and the heartache, God brings salvation not just to Naomi and to Ruth, but to the world. This meal represents that even in the deepest of the valleys, we are not alone. That God is with us. and that God will turn them around and transform them and bring a miracle and salvation. It may not be all in our lifetime. It may be in a year or two. It may be in decades. But God will bring a miracle out of the pain that we experience. Because God never lets us go. God's love surrounds us always. Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California. Or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.